We're going to be continuing our series this morning on spiritual disciplines. We're going to be looking at the discipline of worship. And our primary text is going to be from Matthew chapter 22, specifically verses 34 through 40. Before anyone jumps to any conclusions, this sermon is not going to be about music. However, I think that that's often what we think of when we say the word worship. And so I want us all to wipe our brains of what we think worship is for a moment. You know, for the next 40 minutes, maybe a little more. Wipe our brains of what we think worship is. Get rid of this notion in our head that says, oh, we're going to worship God now. Someone's got an instrument in hand. Now we can worship God. Right? I want us to break ourselves away from that idea. In fact, if you're all like me, this sermon's going to really hurt to hear. It was hard enough writing it. I went back and forth. I deleted a whole lot, only to rewrite it, only to delete it, only to write it again, because God kept saying, no, you still got to say that, even though I went, I don't really want to say that. That's uncomfortable. Well, God says it's a day that we're all going to be a little bit uncomfortable, I guess. And so this morning's sermon, though, is not going to be about music. It's about a whole lot more, and I'm really excited to explain why, but I just thought I'd give, you know, the little, like a trigger warning before I explain it all. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here. We thank you so much for allowing us to take this time to worship you and to praise you. And Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are. I pray that you'd help us to have our hearts and mind open to you as we know that you have something in store for us, Lord, this morning. And I pray that we would be ready to receive it, ready to accept it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply what we learn this morning, what we hear from you. It's one thing just to hear what you say on a Sunday morning, God, but it's another thing to take that and put it into practice. And so I pray that you would be with us today and throughout this week as we apply what we learned this morning. Lord, we thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, he being Jesus. Jesus had just spoken to the Sadducees about the resurrection. So in verse 34 it says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, why is the great command... What? I'm going to restart. Verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And so the very first and foremost questions we need to ask ourselves every day when we wake up should be, who am I going to worship today? So if you're not a musician, that immediately makes you go, well, I can't do that because I don't have a guitar, or I can't sing, or whatever, fill in the blank. And that already is telling us that there's something more to worshiping God than just music. And so we should be waking up every morning, and we need to ask ourselves this question, who am I going to worship today? And the answers to that question can either be ourselves and our lives, or it can be God. But every day we worship something. Every day we wake up and we go about our lives, and throughout what we do during each day, we're choosing to worship something. And it's either our schedule, our own lives, what we have going on, what we want to do, or it's what God wants. We're either worshiping God or something else. There's no such thing as I just didn't worship today. So you either worship God or you're choosing to worship something else. And so we should wake up every morning with this understanding and this value in our hearts that says, when I wake up, I need to decide, am I worshiping God or am I worshiping someone or something else? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, God makes the first commandment. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. It's interesting. That's the first commandment that he gives to Moses, is that you should have no other gods before God. Well, God's the only God, and you can't have a God before God. If you put a God before God, now you've demoted God from the standing that he's in, right? And so first and foremost, we need to wake up every morning, and we need to ask ourselves, who am I worshiping? We need to get it through our very thick skulls that life doesn't revolve around us. And it's very easy to say, oh yeah, I know, life doesn't revolve around me. But the way that we live says a lot more than what we say, right? So I can sit here and I can tell you all day, oh yeah, my life doesn't revolve around me. Except that when I'm extremely hungry, all I can think about is food. I don't think about anything else. All I can think about is, when is my next meal? Why? Because my stomach keeps growling and I just want food. I'm no longer considering anything else going on, right? I'm on a race to the fast food restaurant. I drive past the homeless person on the street. I continue on past the people who are in need. I don't have any care or concern for anything else going on except, well, I got to get there because I'm hungry, right? And it's that type of mentality that we often live by, where we just allow whatever's going on in our life to govern what we do and how we act. And so it's important that we really break down and understand, it's not about me. It's about God. It always has been, and it always will be. And so I'm not going to make us raise our hands, but when I said worship, when you came in this morning and you read the bulletin, you saw that the spiritual discipline was worship, how many of us thought about music? There's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, I think it's a statement about the problems that we have in the Big C church as a whole, where we say, oh, let's worship God now, and then we start playing music. We don't say, let's worship God now, and we pray. We don't say, let's worship God now, and we go into a time of teaching. We only say, let's worship God now, before we start to play music. And so we start to put the idea of worship into this very, very small box that says, the only way I can worship God is with song. And as always, whenever I talk about this, when we put something of God's in a box, we're robbing God of what God can do. We're shrinking God down into the box that we've created. And no matter how big that box may be, it's not big enough to fit God into it. And yet we continue to try. Worship is about our response to God. It's not about the songs. It's about a response to God. It's not about who has the best voice or who plays the guitar well or how many different songs we know or whether or not we messed up the lyrics or if I know all the lyrics and I didn't even have to look at the words up on the screen. It doesn't have to do with whether or not I like the music at the church or if I don't like the music at the church or if I think the music's too old or if it's too new or fill in whatever blank it is. Because I think everyone in this room would be able to say, yeah, I have an opinion on the music that we play here. And that's great. But that's not worship. That's not the sole aspect of worship. I would argue that worship actually has very little to do with the music. Why did I say that the first question we need to ask ourselves every day is who we worship? Because if we're not intentional about who we plan to worship, it's easy for us to let some other idol come into our lives, and we spend the whole day worshiping that idol, and then we go and we pray to God the one time in the day that we do, and we go, oh yeah, I worshiped God. Pat myself on the back, I worshiped God. I went to church on Sunday, I worshiped God this week. We need to wake up every day and say, I want to worship God. With everything that I do this morning, I want to worship God. With everything I do this afternoon, I want to worship God. With everything I do tonight, I want to worship God. In Matthew 4, Jesus is out in the desert and he's being tempted by Satan. And Satan offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he would just bow down and worship Satan. You think Jesus whipped out a guitar and started playing for Satan? Jesus doesn't even talk about music in his response. Satan says, I want you to worship me. Jesus isn't concerned about music. Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Well, why is he putting worship and serve together, except that maybe to worship God means that we're serving God and not ourselves? Right? In doing so, Christ he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. He's quoting the law, and in this same chapter, we see where Jesus is referring to in Matthew 22 when he explains the greatest commandment. I can very easily wake up on any given day, go about the day the way that I want to, how I want to, do whatever's on my agenda, and you know what that can ensure? It ensures that I'm not going to be worshiping God. It ensures I'm going to be worshiping myself and this world. it ensures that I'm going to be worshiping Satan. Now, it's not intentional, right? And if you were to tell me that I was doing that, I'd want to have the argument and say, no, I wasn't worshiping Satan. No, I wasn't. But was I worshiping God? If you're not worshiping God, you're choosing to worship something other than God, right? Worship needs to be an intentional act on our part. It's not something that just happens by chance. We have to decide that we're going to worship God. We have to go out of our way and say, I want to stop whatever's going on in my life. I want to make sure that what I do is in worship to God. One of the things that's so unique about how Jesus responds to Satan when he's in the desert is that in each response, right, because Satan tempts Jesus three times, in each of his response, he points back to God. He doesn't flaunt that he's the Son of God. He doesn't say, you know, I don't need you, Satan, because look at me and check out what I can do and show off in front of Satan. He looks at Satan and he reminds Satan, there's a God and you're not him. He looks at Satan and he says, don't you know that the God that I worship isn't you? Don't you understand that the God that I worship, the God that I'm out here for these 40 days worshiping through fasting, through prayer, he's not you. He's bigger than you. There's nothing you could do that would make me want to worship you over my God. Right? Jesus looks at Satan in that moment and he says, I don't care what you tell me. I'm supposed to serve God and God alone. And so he looks at Satan. He goes, haven't you actually read the scriptures? You're over here quoting scripture to me and yet you're missing the bigger point. Jesus focuses on worshiping God. That's where he's concerned. So now if you're waking up every morning and you're saying, I want to worship God, then you should be asking yourself the question, what does that look like in my life? What is worship for me? I'd argue that we can see what it looks like to worship God in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Right? I could spend this whole morning talking about music, and I did think about it, right? I was, oh, we're going to do worship. Maybe I'll, you know, talk about it, because it's a very corporate experience, and I wanted to kind of break it down. And then I thought, that just misses the point still. That just leaves, you know, then I'm only explaining 5% of what worshiping God is, and 5% might be too much. Rather, I think we should be challenging our understanding of worship altogether. So we need to ask this question, what is worship? Worshiping God is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Right? The greatest commandment that we receive from Jesus is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So what does that look like in our lives? What does it look like for me to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind? It looks like me reading and studying God's word. It looks like me praying to God. It looks like me tithing to God. It's me finding and taking rest in God. It's me serving God. It's living out these spiritual disciplines that we've gone through for these last 5 weeks and all the other ones that we're not going to be able to cover in this series. Right? We can't go through every possible spiritual discipline. There's tons of them. But these are just some of them. These are some of the core ones, especially if we're not practicing any spiritual disciplines. These are the ones we should be starting with. Right? If I've never practiced any spiritual disciplines, I think fasting is probably not the first one I should go for. I think it's more important that I get into God's Word and I read God's Word so I understand why I'm supposed to fast, so that then I can go and practice fasting on my own time. Why do we call our Sunday mornings a worship service, though? Right? I'm talking about all these spiritual disciplines. We call this a worship service not because we have four songs in the service. I can tell you that much. Sunday services often act as a representation of what worshiping God should look like in our lives. It's showing us in the corporate setting what worshiping God is, so that then we can take that example home with us, so that I can still worship God even when I'm apart from the body of Christ, right? Even when I'm not here gathered with all of you guys in this room, I can still take time and take steps to worship God. And so I'm going to challenge us all as I break this down. Sunday morning rolls around, right? You woke up this morning. Maybe you were a little groggy. You drag yourself out of bed. You get ready for church. You drive to the church. You show up anywhere between 2 minutes before service starts, maybe 2 minutes after service starts. You mean to tell me that you've prepared your heart as you drug yourself out of bed? You got yourself here. Maybe you got cut off on the freeway while you're driving here. You got a little angry because someone cut you off. Then you walk into the church and you go, I am ready to worship. And then you walk out the door and you go, well, I worshiped. I'm done. Check that box. Now I can move on to the rest of my life until next Sunday when I do it all again. I don't think we fully prepare our hearts when we do that. And this is a challenge to me. Why? Well, I don't get here at 10, I get here at 9. But I get here right at 9. Why don't I get here at 8:45 so that I have an extra 15 minutes where I can sit and prepare my heart to worship God? Why don't I ensure that I'm preparing myself so that as soon as we start this worship service together as a group, as the body of Christ, why am I not already prepared? Right? I do a call to worship where I read scripture and we pray. And that's to help get us to that point if we're not already there. But we should be making an effort on our own to get there in the first place. I shouldn't go through the first song and kind of be like, yeah, I'm not really ready to sing yet. We only do 4 songs. I'm not ready to sing for the first song. We as a body, we're singing 4 songs to God and I missed 25% of it because I wasn't ready yet. My heart wasn't quite there. I just sang karaoke for the first song because I just wasn't totally prepared to worship God. On any given Sunday, we pray 5 or 6 different times, right? And it's not a specific number. We're not trying to meet certain numbers, but we just have an order so that everyone kind of knows how it works. But we pray 5 or 6 different times. If I miss that first prayer because I'm distracted or I'm not quite ready, I'm missing out on 18 to 20% of that worship with the body. I'm missing out on this opportunity where all of us collectively can be praying in affirmation the same thing to God because I didn't prepare my heart. I didn't say, you know what, I'm going to worship God today and I need to be ready to do it with the body of Christ. Are we starting to see this bigger picture of worship? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's still a little fuzzy. Worshiping God needs to be our life. It's not just something that we do here and there. It's not something that we do every Sunday and that we leave alone after that. At this point, you may be wondering why I'm kind of jumping all over the place. I'm talking about music, I'm talking about prayer, I'm talking about scripture, and the reason is pretty clear here. What we choose to do in our daily lives is an outward representation of whether or not we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. The things I choose to do show whether or not I truly love God with everything that I am. Whether that's through music, through prayer, through reading, through teaching, through resting, through service. This is now our 6th week looking into spiritual disciplines. Here's where it gets a little uncomfortable. How many of us have been practically trying to apply any of these disciplines into our lives? How many of us have been effectuating that change in our lives? We've had 5 weeks now to be working towards reading and studying God's Word better and more frequently. Have we tried that? We've had 4 weeks now to work at praying more to God. Have we tried that? We've had 3 weeks now to work towards tithing. That's almost a full month of pay. Have we now considered whether or not we should be tithing to God? How much we should be tithing to God? We've had 2 weeks now to focus on resting in God. In the last 2 weeks, have we stopped our lives for a moment to say, I'm going to just rest in God. I'm going to spend some time just me and God. We've had a week now to work at serving God. Have we found ways that we can be serving God? Have we prayed to God and asked God, God, how do you want me to serve? What aspects am I missing in my life to serve you? And I say it can get a little bit uncomfortable because maybe we haven't done anything. maybe we haven't really tried to apply these disciplines in our lives, and instead we listened, we took notes, we said, oh yeah, we need to be doing those things, and then we folded those notes into the Bible, and we set them in the back, and we didn't look at them again until we went, oh, I didn't get rid of this last week, oops. If I'm not implementing these disciplines in my life that are so crucial to the Christian lifestyle, can I truly say with confidence that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind? That I love him so much I didn't bother to read his word? That I love him so much that I didn't bother to sit down and pray to him and spend some time with him? That I love him so much that I didn't care to consider, well, maybe, you know, I should figure out how to tithe to God or how much I think I should be giving to God before the next time I get paid? Can I really say that I love God if I'm not willing to rest in him, to slow down my life and just say, God, this time is for you? See, we need to view worshiping God more like how Jesus exemplified prayer to us. In Matthew 6, 9 through 15, Jesus explains to us how we should pray. This isn't a specific prayer that we must pray exactly, word for word, but it's an example to us that we can then cater to our prayer life. We can say, you know what, Jesus says I need to pray about these few things. I'm going to make sure that when I pray to God, I'm going to pray about those few things. Well, in the same way, what we do now on a Sunday morning is how we can then exemplify and worship God in our daily lives. How do we start a service? We start a service with reading God's word and with prayer. Maybe we should start every day with reading God's word and some time in prayer. I'm not saying you've got to read the entire book of John every morning. Read a few verses. Spend a little bit of time. Carve out some time in the morning and say, God, I know I'm tired, I know I'm exhausted, I haven't had my coffee yet, but it's important that I start my day worshiping you. So I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to read 5 verses, and I'm just going to pray. I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to hear what you have for me, God. How do we end every service? With a prayer. Before you go to sleep every night, spend some time in prayer. Stop your life for a minute and say, I need to talk to God before I go to sleep. The things that we're doing on a Sunday morning, this is corporate worship. This is us worshiping God together as a group. But we can take what we do in the corporate worship and apply it into our personal worship to God. And so this spiritual discipline is kind of cheating, because I know we said we were doing four individual and then we were going to do 4 corporate worship or corporate disciplines, and now this one's kind of bleeding in between. But it's in part because those other 5 disciplines that we've talked about so far are acts of worship to God. Our corporate worship to God should inform our personal worship. Now, I could sit here and I could read off a bunch of verses that talk about worshiping God. I'm only going to read off 3 for the sake of time. But Psalm 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Luke 4:8 says, and Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And Hebrews 12:28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. So now that I've made us all kind of shrink down in our seats a little bit, now that I've made us all try to hide ourselves, I want to end with some encouragement about worshiping God. Worshiping God does not always come easy. I don't think that Job found it easy to worship God after he had all of his life taken from him. He loses his land, he loses his servants, he loses his children. All he's left with is his wife, who says, why don't you just curse God and die? I don't think at that moment it came easy to Job to say, you know what, even so, blessed be the name of God. I don't think that came easy to Job. I think that came from Job practicing spiritual disciplines on a daily regimen, so that when something like this would happen to him, he was prepared spiritually to handle the situation at hand. I think the reason why Job did so well in that situation, despite the horrible circumstances he was in, is because he spent time. He knew what Scripture said about God. He knew God's character. He prayed to God. He knew and interacted with God so that when all of this happened, he understood there's a bigger picture at hand. I'm not God. He knew there is a God and I'm not him. And because I'm not God, I can't be upset when things don't go the way I want. And so it can be difficult for us to worship God. There can be times where we just go, I don't have the motivation in me. I'm tired. I was up late. I don't want to get up early. Or it's been a long day and I just want to go to sleep. Or I'm way too busy. I couldn't possibly stop and rest in God. And each and every time that we feel called to do those things and we avoid it and we find excuses, we're choosing not to worship God in that moment. It's one thing to say we're going to practice these disciplines, but it's a whole different animal when we're trying to actually practice them. But I think it's important that we understand you have to start somewhere. And it's hardest to start from zero. So if I'm not reading God's word except on a Sunday morning, it's going to be very difficult for me to then open my Bible during the week and sit down and read. Why? Well, I don't know what to read. I don't know where to start. I've never really read all this stuff. I'm not totally sure. God just wants us to read. Pick a book and start to read it. If you don't know where to start, start in the book of John. That's always a good book to read. It's going to be difficult when we're trying to do something that we don't normally do. And what's so great about all of these disciplines, what's so great about worshiping God, is God meets us where we are. God doesn't care how fancy your prayers are. God doesn't care if your first tithe is $3 because that's all you had left over because you didn't plan anything and that's all you have. God says, well, thank you for at least considering and saying, hey, I at least have these $3, God. Let me give them to you. God doesn't care if you go to rest in him and you keep finding yourself anxious, wanting to do something, struggling. He's going, thank you for trying to sit down and spend time with me. Thank you for pausing your day. I know you've got a lot going on and you're struggling, but thank you for spending time with me. God doesn't care if we're struggling. He doesn't say, well, that's not good enough. Oh, you only read 3 verses? Well, I really, you have to read 4 for me to care. God doesn't set those kinds of random bars for us. God meets us where we're at. And so if we're struggling to apply these disciplines in our lives, that's okay as long as we continue to strive to apply them. So why is this the verse that I pick for worshiping God? Why do I point us to Matthew 22? Verse 40 says, on these 2 commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The 2 commandments being, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If my focus is doing those 2 things, everything else is going to come somewhat naturally because my primary goal is to love God and to love my neighbor as myself. If those are the 2 things that drive my decision making, everything else is going to come as a byproduct of that. That's what Jesus is saying. On these 2 commandments depend all the law and the prophets. If I'm trying to do these 2 things, if I'm trying to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I'm trying to love my neighbor as myself, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to value reading Scripture so much that I'm going to want to study and read it regularly. I'm going to value talking to God so much that I'm going to start praying without ceasing. I'm going to value tithing to God so much that I'm going to give to Him what I should, regardless of how difficult it may make the next few days or weeks. I'm going to value spiritual rest so much that I'm going to stop my life just to be in the presence of God, just to spend that time with God, despite the challenges it might incur because I'm not doing something else. I'm going to serve God, even when it's a task I don't want to do, and even when I'm not going to get any recognition for what I've done, I'm still going to do it because my focus is on loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and loving my neighbor as myself. And because that's my goal, I'm going to be worshiping God in everything I say and do. Why? Because what better way is there to show someone that you love them than to worship them? What better way to tell God, I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind, than to worship God with everything I say and do? Why do we do all these things? Because I love God, and because I love God, all I want to do is worship God. That doesn't mean that I don't go to work for the next week and say, well, Evan told me I gotta worship God. It's more nuanced than that. It's about going to work and finding a way to worship God through my work. Maybe that means that I'm a good steward of God, and that while I'm at work, I make sure that I do everything the way God would want me to do it, that I represent God in everything that I do in the office. Right? Maybe it's about making sure that when I'm in the grocery store, I'm acting the way Jesus would be if he was at a grocery store today. He wouldn't get upset with the people who are getting, going past him. He wouldn't get upset with somebody who's in his way. He'd be patient. He'd be loving. He'd be caring. He'd want to know how everyone's doing. He'd be Jesus today. John 4:23 says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." It says the hour is now here when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. Are you one of those people? The time is now here. Jesus says that the true worshipers are worshiping in spirit and truth. Is that us? Is the congregation here at NCC, are we true worshipers of God? And I want to end by looking again at Romans chapter 12. We started the service with this scripture. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." We need to present our bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable. We need to set ourselves apart for God, right? To be holy means to be set apart. And so I have to set myself apart from the world for God. That means I need to worship God. Why? Because the world does not. That's what sets us apart from the world. The world does what the world does. We choose to worship God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Scripture. We thank you that you reveal to us your character through Scripture. God, we thank you so much for what worship is, that it's so much more than songs that we sing, that it's a lifestyle, that it's how we choose to live. Father, I pray that each and every one of us in this room would be able to say that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. Lord, if that's not the case for any one of us, if one of us in this room doesn't know you, I pray that they would come and speak with myself or with Rick after the service so that we can all come to know who you are, so that we can all know the riches of salvation, so that we can all lean on the hope of the resurrection. And Father, so that we can all go about our daily lives bringing glory and honor to you, praising you and worshiping you with our lives. Father, you call us to live our lives as a living sacrifice to you, holy and pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us each and every day to live our lives as holy and acceptable sacrifices to you. God, life can get so difficult. It can get so busy. And we can find ourselves struggling to make time to practice these disciplines. I pray that you would help us to make the time, that you would remind us how desperately we need to make these things a part of our lives, these disciplines a part of who we are. Help us to read your word. Help us to pray to you, to give back to you, to rest in you, to serve you. God, help us to worship you with everything that we are. Lord, we thank you and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.